Please open your Bibles in the third book of Moses, in the third book of the Bible, to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus 24. We are going to meditate on the first 9 verses of this chapter. Please pay careful attention. This is God's word. The Lord said to Moses, "Command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so that the lamps may be kept burning continually outside the curtain of the testimony in the tent of meeting. Aaron is to tend the lamps before the Lord from evening till morning continually. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. The lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord must be tended continually. Take fine flour and bake 12 loaves of bread using 2/10 of an ephah for each loaf. Set them in 2 rows, 6 in each row, on the table of pure gold before the Lord. Along each row, put some pure incense as a memorial portion to represent the bread and to be an offering made to the Lord by fire. This bread is to be set out before the Lord regularly, Sabbath after Sabbath, on behalf of the Israelites as a lasting covenant. It belongs to Aaron and his sons, who are to eat it in a holy place, because it is a most holy part of their regular share of the offerings made to the Lord by fire." Thus far, God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and gracious Lord, we thank you for this great opportunity that we have to meditate on a portion of your word that is often neglected, Lord, by us, to our shame. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have been doing through your word throughout the centuries. Please, Lord, come upon us with your Holy Spirit now as we are about to deal with what happens when we are doing precisely what we are doing now when we worship. Once again, Lord, I plead with you, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasant in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Have you ever felt weary for worship? Have you ever felt tired without excitement to come to the house of God, to come and meet with God? Perhaps even today, you slept over your alarm and you didn't have time to grab something to eat before you came here. Maybe you're already thinking on your labors for the coming week. Maybe your lunch was ruined because you messed up with the crock pot and it's all burned. And then you had an argument with your spouse, lost your temper. When something like this happened, maybe you are sitting there and thinking, what am I doing here? I am so tired. One of the things that make the book of Leviticus so valuable for us is that it shows us the mechanics of our gospel hope. In a sense, it takes us to the backstage of the machinery of redemption. Through symbolic language and pictures and rituals, the Lord is teaching us the meaning, the profound meaning of the gospel time. As the Apostle Paul said, when I was a kid, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. And in a sense, the knowledge of God's people was growing. And then here, the Israel of God was still in a very initial stage of his revelation. Therefore, he would, in a sense, draw for them
so that they may understand what we now have in fullness, spiritual realities. I remember when I was a kid, music was always part of my life. I'm not a great musician. So you now must be thinking that I'm a complete failure, not even succeeded in basketball, neither in music, right? So yeah. Anyways, one day I always liked guitars, and then there was one day, I liked them, but there was one day that my father brought me to a guitar factory back in Brazil. Then I could see the whole process of the making of a guitar. It didn't change the sound of the guitar when I listened to one, but it certainly did change my appreciation for the instrument itself. So in a way, when we see through the backstage what is going on, what we see through these symbols, what is going on right now as we gather together as the covenant people of the Lord in worship, it will not change how we see. But will certainly change how we see our public gathering. In this passage, we have this image. And just to give a little bit of context, this section here, actually I was looking at this Bible that you guys have in the pew, and it has a helpful outline in the beginning of the book of Leviticus here that is going to serve for our purpose. This is an outline of contents, and then the second to the last portion, the Sabbath, feasts, and seasons, chapter 23 through 25. Actually, the book of Leviticus is answering a question that was posed. Is giving a solution, better saying, to a crisis that was posed by the end of the book of Exodus when the people were ordered to do the tabernacle because the Lord saved them from Egypt with the purpose so that they may worship Him, and He had promised that He would dwell with them, and the tabernacle was the means by which the Lord would dwell with His people in the desert. And then the tabernacle was done by the end of Exodus. And then there is a crisis. We read there that in the last chapter of the book of Exodus, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So it was supposed actually to be a tent of meeting, but at that time in history, it was only a tabernacle. So the book of Leviticus, through its laws of purity, distinguishing holy and unholy, clean and unclean, and all those rituals are actually purifying the tabernacle so that it would be a tent of meeting to the purpose of something like what we have here would happen Sabbath after Sabbath. And this portion here is actually the culmination of the whole purpose of the book of Leviticus, which is to establish a deep fellowship with the Lord. The people are purified, the people are consecrated, and then the people have communion with the Lord. So the book of Leviticus, more than the book that serves for us to sabotage our annual reading plan of the Bible, is more than that. It's actually a journey towards a deeper fellowship with the triune God. And we know that. That the Lord is triune because He has revealed, so we have so much more. So let us enjoy what we have in front of us. If you have ever felt weary to come to worship, if you're anything like me, you need this text. It is for you. And in this text, we learn that when God's people respond to His holy convocation, which is what the Sabbath is, a holy convocation right in the beginning of the liturgy, we have a reminder of that. We are called to worship. When we respond, when God's people respond to His holy convocation, He blesses them with His special presence through His appointed priest. When God's people respond to His holy convocation, He blesses them with His special presence through His appointed priest. God's people. Special presence, appointed priest. Here we have a picture of what happens every Lord's Day when God's people are gathered together. Let us first look at this picture, the first layer of this picture, God's people from verses 5 through 7.
Take fine flour and bake 12 loaves of bread, using 2/10 of an ephah, roughly 7 pounds, for each loaf. So that's a big bread. Set them in 2 rows, 6 in each row, on the table of pure gold before the Lord. Along each row, put some pure incense as a memorial portion to represent the bread and to be an offering made to the Lord by fire. And now you might be looking at me and asking, what does bread have to do with God's people? Pay attention to the number. If you were Moses and you were writing this, after you have written everything that you did, after have heard everything that you've heard, after have seen everything you have seen, what would come to your mind when you see the number 12? The 12 tribes of Israel. The whole and sum of God's people. There's something interesting about that, is that when Jesus Christ, the true Israel, comes, he commissions 12 apostles. And then we go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and we see the picture of the new Jerusalem saying like this in verse 12. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then verse 14, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There is actually another indication here that these breads, they represent the people of God. If you go back to the book of Exodus, especially in the section of the middle that is dealing with the construction of the tabernacle and all the clothes of the priest who represented the people of God in the holy place and in the holiest space in the Ark of the Covenant. Here we have, in Exodus 28:9, we have the description of the effort of the priest, how he would approach the presence of God as the representative of God's people. Here's the description of his clothes. Take 2 onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel in the order of their birth. 6 names on one stone and the remaining 6 on the other. 2 rows, 2 stones in the priest as he was doing his priestly tasks. The people of God represented by this bread. And the second portion of this picture is the incense. We had the table of pure gold and the 12 breads, the 12 loaves of bread there. And then we have the incense. And that's actually a modification of what we have in Leviticus 2 in the grain offering that was attached to the incense, with the difference there that here the bread is not burned like that, like it is the case in Leviticus 2, but here only the incense would be burned. And the scholar and commentator of Leviticus, Gordon Wenham, he says that actually this would be a memorial like that was given to a king. So in a sense, this is the recognition of the kingdom of God upon the people of Israel. Actually, the basis of the whole sacrificial system was the whole burnt offering, which would ascend as a sweet aroma to the Lord. So here we have the picture of the people of God, wholly, entirely dedicated to their king. So what we have here? How do we apply this to us? The whole people of God, united in the presence of God. What we have here, we are to seek the unity of the body of Christ. There's a Puritan called David Clarkson that he has a book that is entitled "The Public Worship to be Preferred as to Private Worship." He says that Christians, when they're isolated, they're like little burning coals, to use the expression that we used this morning. And they quickly are gone if they are not together, so that they might become a huge fire. Seek the unity of the body, one people together in front of his God. And from the incense,
from the offering, from the recognition that the Lord is our King. Let us surrender everything that we have, everything that we are unto Him. Let us surrender our time to Him. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We just confessed Lord's Day 38 here. We are to give our time to the Lord. After all, if all things are considered, He gave us 6 days to do our work. And He asks one day, not asks, He demands one day to be His. And we still are so far away from doing it rightly, aren't we? Let us give our time to the Lord. Let us give our money to the Lord. I had an old elder in my home church back in Brazil that he used to say that the last part of a man that is converted is his wallet. And the reason for that is that we tend to regard our possessions, our assets, as something that we own. After all, we did it with our hard work. But we forget that the Lord Himself has given us life, has given us strength, has created everything that we use to make money. And if we think more closely, especially since I'm speaking to a region that has a lot of farms, there is no necessary relation between the seed you put in the ground and the harvest that you collect. You just put it there. The decision comes from the Lord to give a good harvest for you. Isn't it? There is no necessary relation between the food we eat and the nourishment and strengthening of our bodies. This is a decision of the Creator of the universe. He uses means. So recognize that all things that you have come from the hands of the Lord and give it to Him. I'm not saying that you should deposit your whole paycheck for the church. I'm just saying, let us give ourselves entirely. Let us use all that we have as the Lord commands and for His glory. Thirdly, let us give our energy for the Lord. I see a lot of young faces, as our elder said. What are you doing with your strength? What are you doing with the abundance of time that you have now that you are single? How are you preparing? Even you, children, I'm speaking to you right now. You have so many years, if the Lord preserves you, ahead of you. Treasure God's words. Memorize the catechism and ask Him to make you love those words that you memorize. Memorize what you love to love what you memorize. Let us jump into the second layer of this picture of what happens when we worship the Lord. When God's people respond to His holy convocation, He blesses them with His special presence. So God's special presence, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so that the lamps may be kept burning continually. We have this lampstand here that is actually made up of four parts. Don't be scared. I'm going to be really brief on this. So we have the first part. We have the lampstand itself, which is, if we look to Exodus 25, verses 31 through 40, we're going to see it, and we're going to see that it looks like a stylized tree. So an Israelite would see that, would imagine what? The tree of life that was in the presence of God that they have lost after the cursed action of mankind, of sinning against His Creator. We don't have time now, but in Exodus 25, you find a detailed description, and you see that it looks like a tree, blossoms, the shape of it. It looks like a stylized tree. And then the second thing that we have in this image of the lampstand is the oil, which would be the fuel, so that the light and the fire could be kept burning to produce light. And what we have here in the fuel is actually, if you see oil in the Bible, will normally be attached to the Spirit. And the best place for us to see that, actually the vision of Zechariah in chapter 4, the vision of the prophet there, it will connect both instances here, oil by olive trees and the lampstand. And right in the middle, when he says, oh, don't, when the angel says to Zechariah, when he asks, what is this? And he says, oh, don't you know, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. The Spirit of God, the tree of life. And then we have the fire, which is the display of God's glory for people that were wandering in the wilderness, that would have a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night to protect them. The presence of the light of God as a consuming fire on the top of the mountain as a fire. And then the book of Hebrews alerting us that God is still a consuming fire. The presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the power of the Lord display in the form of fire. And then the focus of this passage, the light, that the fire that is fueled by the oil, that is sustained by the lampstand produces. This is the focus of this image of the lampstand here. The light, first words, first divine words recorded in the Bible. Let there be light. Light is associated with God in both Testaments, since Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Light has a living power in and of itself. If it wasn't the light of the sun, you wouldn't have a harvest to collect. Light is associated with the blessing of the Lord throughout Scripture. And most importantly, in the context of the books of Moses, we have in the very next book a description of the blessing, of the priestly blessing in Numbers chapter 6, which reads, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace." The blessing of the Lord, the tree of life, the Spirit of God, the power of God, the glory of God, the blessing of God. That's a special presence of God in public worship. You might be wondering now, but isn't God everywhere? Can't I find God anywhere? Yes, you do indeed. Yes, you do indeed. But there is a concept in the Bible. Let us draw near to the Lord. Well, if he is everywhere, why wouldn't he need to call us to draw near to him? There is a concept here that is more than spatial. It's more of existential. It's us approaching him the way he wants us. The way to God is the way of God. We are not to approach the throne of grace the way we want to do, but the way he has prescribed us to do. That's why we're so careful with what we do in public worship. The way of to God is the way of God. Think in these terms, if that will help you. If you collect coins, would you go to these crops searching around a rare coin? You might find one. I have not searched myself, but I don't think you would look for one right there, would you? You would go to appropriate places. You would try to find with collectors. You wouldn't expect to find a doctor in a firehouse department, would you? So this is the place that the Lord has called us. This is God's house. Not this building, but we. When we gathered, we are the body of Christ. The apostles calls our assemblies God's house. Where do you expect to find someone? At his house. The apostles call, the author of Hebrews calls. Again, not the building, but we, when we are together, people of God, we enjoy the special presence of God. Wherever there are two or three assembled in my name, there will be with them. Isn't God everywhere? But there's a special significance in those words. And we know that, don't we? So what is the connection now between the image of the lampstand and the light it shines with the bread? How can we make that connection? The book of Numbers in chapter 8, there you see the instructions of God to Aaron, how he should arrange the light of the lampstand. If you're not familiar with the structure of the tabernacle, let me help you now. You'd have the courtyard in the front, and then when you enter in the first, separated by a curtain, you would enter. The first place would be the holy place, which is exactly the place where this scene is taking place. And then you would look in front of you, and you would have the veil that would cover the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of Covenant is placed. And there, only one day per year, the high priest would go to make atonement for the sins of Israel. We read about that in Leviticus 16. But in this place where we are now, the holy place, the first room, you would see the altar of incense in front of you. You would see the table of the presence, the table of showbread with the bread that represents God's people in your right. And you would see the lampstand in your left. So the instructions for the priest was for him to position the lamps so that the light would go forth. You read that in Numbers chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. This priest is supposed to make sure that the lamps are shining forth to the front, to the bread. So the light of divine blessing would shine upon God's people. Here we have an image, in the form of an image, what happens when we worship God. His blessing will be shining upon us. This represents the ideal for the people of Israel, and in a sense, the ideal for all of us to bask in the light of the special presence of God. After all, aren't we promised by the book of Revelation that we are going to a city that there is no need for sun, for its lamp is its sons, and it is Him who shines forth light that will bless us forevermore. So how does this apply to us? When you come to public worship, when you come here, expect to be blessed. God calls us to His presence. God assures us of pardon. He consecrates us by His word. He communes with us through His table, as we're going to have the privilege to do next week. And He commissions us with His blessing. Come to be blessed. When you are weary of worship, maybe it would do good for us to remind ourselves what happens when we gather. We're coming here to meet with God, to receive His blessing, to let His light to shine upon us. Come to be changed. Come to be changed. God is shaping us. Sin cannot stand in front of God. The book of Leviticus points out this very clearly. It will be exterminated. That's what happened with Nadab and Abihu. Sin cannot stand in front of God. We come to be changed. As we come here, we are day by day being sanctified. As we learned this morning, sanctification is a slow progress. As it was with Peter, it is with us. Come to be changed. And actually, when I said expect to be blessed, the concept of blessing, actually, it's being enabled to do what the Lord has called us to do. We remember in the creation account that the Lord blessed the earth so that it would shine, put forth fruits. And the Lord blessed the men and the women so that they could have descendants. So to be blessed by the Lord is not to receive a raise in your job, necessarily. It's not to have a new car of your dreams, not necessarily. But it is to be enabled day by day to be what the Lord has created you to be. Come to be blessed. Michael Morales, in his book on Leviticus, he's a scholar, happens to be my professor, seminary. He says, just as basking in the sun's light brings color, warmth, and health to the body, so basking in God's presence brings holiness that is gradual, that is gradual sanctification. Come to be blessed. Come to be changed. Come to commune with God. This is often a basic but forgotten point. We are coming to commune with the living God. We are meeting with God at His house when we come to public worship. But then at this point, We may think, as the psalmist would think in Psalm 15, who shall abide in your tabernacle?
We know that sin, God cannot stand sin, and he would exterminate sin if sin appeared in front of him. If a sinful man appeared in front of God, he would be killed. How can we, the people of God, approach him and receive his light upon us and not be consumed by it? For he is still, as the author of Hebrews puts it, a consuming fire.
And now we have the third and final portion of this picture. The priest, the appointed priest. When God's people respond, when we respond to his holy convocation, we are blessed by his special presence through his appointed priest. And we see here that the Aaron and the priest, they are involved with all the process, with all the elements. They are supposed to arrange the breads. They're supposed to, as we learn in Numbers 8, that they have to make the light shine forth up front, giving light unto the bread. They're involved with everything. And the Lord himself has ordained priests in Leviticus 8 to do just like that. The priest would function as the mediator, the one who brings together two parts that are afar from each other. Isn't that the curse of sin that makes us far away from God's presence? God was in an intimate relationship with man in the garden. And then after sin, the man was expelled from God's presence and keeps going further east, more and more, generation after generation, up until the flood that God wiped out the earth. And isn't it the same thing? And goes forth, Sodom and Gomorrah. And nowadays, we keep going farther and farther from God's presence until we understand that we need to approach God through his priest. A priest who was called, who came to mediate God's blessing to a people who would confess his name and live to be like him. Think about Jesus Christ for a moment. As a priest, he began his ministry at the age of 30. At his baptism, he was anointed with the Spirit to be a priest. Like the burning incense that we have here, he was completely dedicated to the Lord. He obeyed the Lord's commandments to the fullness. He never sinned. He never disobeyed. At the cross, for he was obedient to the point of death, he offered an atoning sacrifice to the Father. He himself being the sacrifice. And in his resurrection, he was declared a priest forever. Then he ascended into heaven as a sweet aroma to the nostrils of the Father. And there he is, continually interceding for us at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Continually interceding for you. He's the one who calls you to worship. He's the one who makes worship possible. Without him, we wouldn't receive life from God, but we would be consumed by his holiness. The Lord Jesus Christ is our priest. He's the one who mediates the blessings from the Lord, the light of God's faith, so that the light would be a blessing for us rather than a consuming fire. He's the one who cleanses us from every sin. And sent his Spirit so that he who began the good work in you would make sure that he would complete the work until the day of Christ. How do we apply this? Only one thing. Come and worship the Lord. Come to worship him with the with utmost expectation that you are going to be changed, that through Jesus Christ, you have access not only to the holy place, but to the holy of holies, to the very throne of grace. As we read in Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, He has opened a new and living way through the veil of His flesh, through the sacrifice in the cross. Now we can go directly into the Father, where we are right now spiritually. God is here with us. And we are with the God who is Spirit, in the Spirit and truth. Through Jesus Christ, we have ultimate access to God. Something that the Israelites could only imagine we have in its fullness as we await to the consummation of age, where we will be in the tabernacle of God, in the city of God, in the new Jerusalem that is coming down from heaven. And there will be no more cry, no more death. And what we will do eternally, brethren, we will worship the Lord. All people of God will worship the Lord. Not private worship, but corporate worship. This is the thing that will endure for eternity. This is the thing that we are going to be doing eternally. Remember that what we are having here is just but a foretaste of eternity. Are you weary of worship? I bet it would change. It would give you new and renewed strength if you would just meditate on something that we have dealt tonight. When God's people, when you respond to God's calling, when you respond to God's holy convocation, you are blessed by His special presence, through His appointed priest, through His Son. The Father blesses you through His Son by the Spirit that lives in you. So do not hesitate to come to worship. If you feel weary, come. It is okay. It is appropriate to come. Maybe the devil would whisper in your ear, "Oh, I don't want to be a hypocrite and come. I'm not feeling like going to the church." Come! Come. It's okay. Come hungry to be fed. Come thirsty to be refreshed. Come empty to be filled. Confidently awaiting that one day the priest, which brings us spiritually to the throne of God in heaven, will come again. And He will bring us, or we are coming unto Him, as one of our sisters did today. And we will see the fullness of God in the face of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who is the exact image of the Father. And we will be together. Do you see? Everything that you do, it's going to pass away. But this will never pass away. The only difference is that you're going to have a much better preacher. That's the only difference, brethren. Come and worship the King. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and gracious Lord, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, because You have given us so much more than we can ever imagine. Forgive us, Lord, when we neglect our duty of public worship. Oh, Lord, may Your Spirit do that which I cannot, which no man can. Apply this word, even a gram, even an ounce, even a tiny drop of Your word may relive a dying soul so that it may love You. And loving You would have pleasure in communing with You. Thank You, Lord, for drawing such a picture for us in the Old Testament, in the midst of a, for our age, obscure book that sometimes we are so weary of reading. Thank You, Lord.
Thank you for drawing for us so that we may understand. Thank you for making us your people. Thank you for separating a sacred time so that you would give us your presence in a renewed and special way through the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, who was himself a sacrifice. Oh Lord, what a thought. The one who was at your bosom in eternity, eternally begotten, not created, came to this earth, put his feet on the dust of the ground, the very same dust that we wash off our feet, made the feet of the God-man dirty. Heavenly Father, please, I trust in the power of your Holy Spirit to pierce these truths in the hearts of even those who were distracted during the message, perhaps thinking something else. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on all of us. For Christ's sake and in Christ's name we pray. Amen.